It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, let's talk about the Indianapolis Colts. Let's talk about rookie minicamp, which is going to commence tomorrow. We get a chance to see Liatu Latu and A.D. Mitchell, the top two draft picks of the Colts. What kind of difference are they going to make, realistically, for this team that returns all 22 starters? Also, we get to see some other guys who are going to be added to this roster at the expense of guys who have been on this roster and returned to this roster. The Colts return 80% of their roster, not just all 22 starters and the three specialists, but 80% of their roster. That is a huge amount that ranks third in the NFL, which really surprises me because I didn't think there'd be that many people coming back to other teams. And especially for a team that didn't go to the playoffs, this is kind of unheard of that so many players would be back. But how many people are going to survive the final cuts? That's kind of the thing. We're going to talk about the schedule release, which is going to come a week from yesterday. So next Wednesday, we find out who the Colts are going to play. And that's key to figure out exactly where you're going to go, what road trip you're going to go on. Are you going to go to New York? Are you going to go to Nashville? Nashville's a must. You got to go to Nashville. I had a great time in Nashville last year. And I'll tell you where to stay to my own detriment. I'll tell you where to stay. We're going to talk about Fever a little bit. Caitlin Clark makes her debut at Cambridge Fieldhouse. We'll talk about the Pacers who are on the ropes. But you know what? They're not out. So let's go. We're going to talk about Indiana basketball a little bit because Xavier Johnson was on a podcast and he said something that has really struck a nerve with me, and I assume other Indiana basketball fans who have been fans of Indiana basketball for longer than Xavier Johnson has been alive. And of course, it's got to do with Mike Woodson and the fans. We'll talk about that too. This is Inside Indiana Sports Now for Thursday, May 9th, 2024, brought to you by the great people at MyBookie. Here's the deal with MyBookie. Promo code Kent. Kent. Only one way to spell it. K-E-N-T. There's no second T in Kent. Although my middle name does begin with a T. So it would be kind of, if you just ran it all together, K-E-N-T-T-S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G. You could do that if you wanted, but I don't know what you would gain from it. You certainly aren't going to gain the sign-up bonus that you unlock up to $1,000 by using promo code Kent on MyBookie. And you know what? With that $1,000 bonus, you can get lots of action. And you got action coming tomorrow night between the Knicks and the Pacers. Game 3, absolutely crucial. Pacers have to win this game. Must win. You cannot go down 3-0 and then have two games at Madison Square Garden and think you're going to stay in the series and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's not going to happen. At any rate, go to MyBookie, bet your heart, bet your brain, whatever. Whatever organ you want to use while wagering, use it. It's your business. Do it alone, please. Also, subscribe to the channel because that's a thing. It's a good thing. It's more convenient for you, certainly. And it unlocks the possibility of winning prizes on this channel. I've got two prizes. They're just sitting in the other room. But I need an excuse to give them away. I need a reason, right? We can't just wantonly give stuff away, even though you'd like me to. You can't just do it. We'll do it next week as we come off of the rookie mini camp, I think. Don't hold me to that. Hit the like button because it's the nice thing to do. It's the polite thing to do. It's the Hoosier hospitality thing to do. Make a comment. I love answering the comments. Comments are my favorite part of the whole deal. And if you want to make a donation, make one with a comment or a question, and we'll share the comment or question with the entire group, and we will answer the question. We will talk about what you want to talk about. You can drive the car, but I got to get a great graphic, and the great graphic is only available to me if you make a donation. All right. Let's talk about the Colts. The Colts are in an interesting position, and the rookie mini camp is going to be very instructive. There's not a lot where it comes to free agents and figuring out, really you're figuring out one thing, and that's whether Raekwon Davis can be a rotational guy among the defensive tackles as this season kind of transpires. You've got Taven Bryan back. You got DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart. So you've got four guys who are going to rotate at least, and then you've got four defensive ends and more, because do you have a fifth? I think you have a fifth, right? You've got Kwity Paye, you've got Dio Odangbo, Samson Ebukam, and of course Latu, and I'm missing one, but that's okay. Latu we get to see tomorrow in rookie minicamp. We're not going to really get an idea of what he can do or how he's going to do it, because you know what? Edges working on rookie offensive linemen and one-on-one drills, I don't even know if that's going to happen. What we will see tomorrow, though, we're going to see A.D. Mitchell line up against a cornerback and see how he runs, how he moves. And even if they don't move against cornerbacks, although I think we're going to see some cornerback wide receiver stuff, you're going to be able to see how he moves. And how he moves through a cut is going to be instructive to try to figure out how difficult or easy it's going to be to cover him coming out of a cut. Is he going to be able to get open? The Colts think that he is going to be very, very good at getting open. We're going to find out. And that process will begin tomorrow. Of course we'll be there. 150 is the practice. I will be there. Then we talk to selected rookies and to Ed Dodds. Ed Dodds does a couple of, and we know him as Chris Ballard's lieutenant. And he does generally two media deals per year, one during the rookie mini camp and then another one during training camp. I always enjoy this one. You kind of get a look into the methodology that these guys use, the entire front office, whether it's Morocco, Brown, Ed Dodds, Ballard, their regional scouts, what directors of scouting, director of player personnel, whoever. What methodology they use in determining who they're going to go get. And Dodds and Brown are usually not so guarded. They're kind of honest about things, and we appreciate that. So we get a look at how they do their business. I'm looking forward to it. The schedule release is going to be in 6 days, next Wednesday. We're going to find out exactly when the Colts play where. We know who they're going to play. We know where they're going to play it. We just don't know when. See, you can't make your hotel bookings until, and your plane, if you're going to drive or fly, I mean, if you're going to Lambeau Field, they play up in Green Bay, or if you're going to go down to Nashville, there's no real need to fly. You can drive that if you like. Detroit's going to play here, but you can go to New York. New York, they play the Jets and the Giants. So you got two chances. I would take the warmer one. If I were you, and if you're going to go to Nashville, and I highly recommend you do. My wife and I had a great time in Nashville for a couple of nights. Stay at the Mint. The Mint is an awesome hotel that used to be a Federal Reserve Bank. Unbelievable, like, structure, as you would guess, at a Federal Reserve Bank. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was a neat place, and I thought the ins and outs of the place were good. It's in a nice spot. Kind of at the southwestern edge of downtown, not too far from the state capitol. I really enjoyed it. I highly recommend it. Anyway, for what that's worth. I want to go over officials a little bit. We've been talking about officials in terms of the Pacers and the Knicks over the last two games and how Rick Carlisle feels like he's getting bent over backwards by the officiating crew. And he said this, small market teams deserve a fair shot. We're going to get to that in a minute, but let's talk about officiating. One way, and here's the thing about officiating. We talk about Hanlon's razor all the time, and Hanlon's razor states, never attribute to malice that which is adequately explained by stupidity or incompetence. Meaning that conferring upon a person malfeasance or nefariousness is most often incorrect. What it is, it's just a bad call. It's just stupid. It's incompetence. And some incompetence was corrected last night when that double dribble by Hartenstein was reversed. That was a good reverse, right? Nobody believes that that was double dribble. No one does. But where officiating does get squirrely, and here's where Hanlon's razor kind of comes into this deal. The officials, to accomplish a certain cosmopolitan feel and some equanimity among races, among genders with officials, they're promoting, prior to people gaining the requisite experience to do their job adequately. That's a problem. That's a legitimate problem that has been voiced to me by referees in the National Football League, officials in the National Football League, and former officials in the National Football League. The people are being hustled into their position because of optics for the NFL, and the same is happening with the NBA. And that is a shame. That's putting the cart before the horse. That is really prioritizing appearances over competence, and that's always, always a mistake. So I will give you that. Gary Moore says, keep McConnell on Brunson for the entirety of the series. Thanks for the great content, Kent. Thank you, Gary Moore. I assume no relation to the Gary Moore who is the master of ceremonies on To Tell the Truth back in the day, as he, I believe, has passed away. At any rate, the officiating, and I agree with that. McConnell's a pain in the ass to play against. And if you're playing against somebody who is going to take you to the woodshed as often as Jalen Brunson does it, you got to find a way to make him uncomfortable. And T.J. McConnell is that guy who's going to make him uncomfortable. So keeping him in the game over the last 7 minutes of the game would seem to be a logical thing to do, a logical strategy. And that's something that Rick Carlisle did not do in game two, did not do in game one. As a result, at least in part, the Pacers are donut and two. Small market teams deserve a fair shot. Here you go. Top 14 markets based upon television market rating for population, which is really the most important metric. It's not about population. It's about the market size. Only three teams are playing out of the top 14. You got Houston in there. You got Detroit in there. You got San Antonio in there. You've got Atlanta in there, if I didn't already say them. Philly, they're not represented in the final eight. The Knicks are the only franchise out of New York, LA, and Chicago markets 1, 2, and 3 still in the playoffs in the NBA. This is not about market size. The likely representative of the Western Conference, Oklahoma City, they're 47th. The Pacers, 25th. Cleveland, 19th. Minnesota, 15th. Denver, 17th. Dallas, 5th. Boston, 8th. Knicks, 1. But you get the idea. They don't crap on the small market teams. There's no evidence to suggest that small market teams have a tougher way to go. There's not. Pacers in a tough spot. They're down 2-0. That's the way it goes. There are three starters on that team, 24 years of age. Miles Turner, what is he, 27, 28? And then you've got Pascal Siakam, who's a robust 30. T.J. McConnell, 32, by the way. That surprised me when I saw that this morning. Smart by Rick Carlisle. I'll give him this. Smart to be very specific about the foul that he pointed at as representative of being completely unfair. He said, and this was with purpose, everybody knows that Tyrese Halliburton is battling a bad back. Josh Hart just flat pushed him in the back in front of an official, and he named the official. He's going to get fined for this. And no call was made. He needs to protect Tyrese Halliburton. He needs to have the officials aware of hands on Tyrese Halliburton's back and unnecessary physical contact with Tyrese Halliburton. That was the point, and I think as a result of that, you have a chance to see a little pivot in the officiating tomorrow night and then Sunday afternoon. I think you do. That's why he did that. You gotta be specific. Refs are unfair, huh? I'm gonna, here, I worked with Bob Lovell for a long time at Network Indiana. I think we worked together for 11 years, 12 years. This wasn't like a daily thing. I was there, he was there. Nobody manages Bob Lovell. Anyway, he was like the director of basketball for the Horizon League. We're talking, phone rings, blah, 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 blah. I said, oh, who's that? He said, it's Raleigh Massimino. He was coaching the Cleveland State team at that point, and they were in the Horizon League. I said, oh, really? What did he want? Hey, he's bitching and moaning about the officiating. He is. Yeah, ring. It's another call. More bitching and moaning about the officiating. I said, wow, this is your Monday? He goes, yeah. I hear from every coach every Monday about how they're getting screwed. That's what happened. So Rick Carlisle's sending a videotape of 49 bad calls that went against the Pacers last night. The Knicks, I'll bet they got just as many. This is the way it works. Coaches always think they're getting screwed, and they almost never are. It's just that some calls can be called either way. They're upset with the way it was called. Their opponent upset with the way it was called. Everybody's upset. And if everybody's equally upset, it's kind of like the old Dave Wilson joke. If Keith Richards is drooling out of both sides of his mouth, what do you got? The answer is a level stage. It's kind of like if you got both coaches bitching and moaning with equal volume and anger, you've probably got a well-called game, or at least a fairly called game. Xavier Johnson on Mike Woodson in a podcast says, I don't understand why our fans, they just try to push out the coach when things aren't going as well. You're going to have hardship. I just think he's done a great job bringing back Indiana to the culture it really was. How in the sweet hell do you know? How does Xavier Johnson know anything about the culture of Indiana basketball as it was? How in the world does he speak or have the temerity to speak with any authority whatsoever about Indiana's culture as it was? He wasn't born when Indiana's culture was as it was. He has nothing to say about it. Fans have been there forever. You got fans at Simon Scott Assembly Hall who remember pre-Bob Knight days at Indiana. Those fans, they remember. They know. Xavier Johnson should do a hell of a lot more listening than he does talking. He listens like he drives. Way too fast and irregularly. That's off the top of my head. Julian Lewis, he's going to visit Indiana University May 31st. He's a five-star quarterback out of Georgia. He's a top 10 national recruit. That didn't happen under Tom Allen. It does happen under Kurt Cignetti. Good for Kurt Cignetti and Patrick Beverley, suspended 4 games. Now it's up to fans to see if they accept the 4-game suspension as enough. What would happen to a fan if a fan took a basketball that kind of rolled funny and threw a pass, hit Patrick Beverley in the head? Do you think they would be suspended from Gainbridge Fieldhouse for 4 games? No. They would have been removed in handcuffs, probably arrested. So the Indiana police, Indianapolis Metropolitan Police, they're figuring out whether they're building a case to see if the prosecutor wants to charge Patrick Beverley with a crime. Given a 4-game suspension, a paltry 4-game suspension, I'd say charge him, arrest him the next time he comes to Indianapolis. 4-game suspension, my ass. And he didn't just do it once. He hits the lady in the head with a chest pass, goes like this. The guy inexplicably, the guy next to her, returns the ball to him. He throws the ball back at him, hits him in the chest. What the hell is going on? Is Adam Silver insane? All right, we'll talk about that again tomorrow morning because I'm pissed off at it. And I'm pissed off at Xavier Johnson, as always. Just shut up. Be quiet. Dan Dockich says it on Indy Sports Ticket all the time. Just shut up. Who wants to hear what you have to say? We barely wanted to watch you play basketball. Now we got to listen to your ass, lecture fans about how the culture is back to what it was. You won one damn NCAA tournament game in your 3 years at Indiana. What the hell are you talking about? The culture's back to what it was. My ass.